Today's shiur has been dedicated by a loyal listener from London as a zechus for refuah shleima for Yehuda Leib ben Basham. Today's shiur is Masechta Tainis Daf Chof Beis. We will begin on Daf Chof Aleph on the Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Abba, who was a umna means that he was a person who was a bloodletter. Says the Gemara, have os le shalma mesifta rakiya kol yoyma. Every day he got a shalom aleichem from Shemayim. Abaya received such a shalom kamal yom shabbosa every Friday, every erev Shabbos. Rava kamal yom de kippurim, and Rava received such a shalom aleichem every erev yom kippur. And as the Yavetz explains, the difference between Abaya and Rava was that Abaya was an individual who, besides being the tremendous Talmud Chacham that he was also very involved with Gemilas Chesed. And the primary time that people do Chesed with Aniyim is on Friday, that they should have panos, they should have food for Shabbos. And because Abaya excelled in helping poor people every Friday, that's why every Friday, every Erev Shabbos, he got a Shalom Aleichem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rava, we find, did not necessarily act that way in every Erev Shabbos, but on Erev Yom Kippur, he was very careful to go ask everybody for Mechila and try to make Shalom, and therefore he got a Shalom, he got Shalom on every Erev Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, have kachol shadaita d'abaya. So Abaya was disappointed that he only got shalom every Erev Shabbos, and Mishum d'Abba Umna, who got shalom every day. Amalei, says the Gemara, they sent him a message from Shemayim, the Leimotzus la'avet ka'uvdei. You can't imitate what he does, you can't do what he does, so don't be disappointed. Ask the Gemara, may have a uvda d'Abba Umna. What was Abba Umna, what did he do that he deserved such wonderful attention in the Shemayim? Says the Gemara, Ki Abba Ovid Milsa, as we said at the beginning of the shir, Abba Umna's profession was that he was a bloodletter. Ki Abba Ovid Milsa, when he would bloodlet and he had male patients and female patients, have a machis gavri l'chod v'noshi l'chod. He would keep the men and the women separate. Islay l'vusha, and moreover, he had a garment, this bekarna, that had in it a hole where he could stick the instrument with which he let out the blood. It had that small hole. And if a woman would come for bloodletting, to have a malbushla, he would ask her to put on that garment, in order that he should be careful that he should not look at her in a place that he's not supposed to look, only because it doesn't interfere with his work. He had a small place, the Shadabay Peshita the Shakal. Whoever had serviced from him would throw the money in there. And says the Gemara, the Islay, someone who could afford to be taken care of, who could afford the treatment, Shadabay, would throw money in there. The Leslay, but if somebody could not afford, what he would do is Le Michsef. He wasn't embarrassed because nobody saw anybody paying or not. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Ki Av Islay Me Tzumer Rabbanon, if a Talmud Chacham came for treatment, Agri Menei Le Shokel, he certainly didn't take any payment from him, just Ubos the Koi. After the treatment was finished, Yavle Pshita, he would give the Talmud Chacham money. Vamle Zili Bari Nafshach. After someone underwent the bloodletting treatment, it was important that they drink and eat, that they should get back their energy, and he would give them money in order that they should be able to buy food to have after they had the treatment. Says the Gemara, Yom Echad Shod Abay Zuga Derbonal Miftkei. One day, Abai sent a pair of Rabbonim to check out who Abba Umna was. Osvinu vechlinu vashkinu. The first thing he did was that he gave them to eat and drink. And as I saw the Mefarshim point out, that not only did he give them to eat and drink, that not only did he take care of them and they should have what to eat, but he himself, he was the one that gave them to eat. He was the one that gave them to drink. He was most concerned that they should have what to eat, and he took care of their needs all by himself. And at night, he put good wool blankets under them that they should be able to sleep comfortably with those blankets. In the morning, these Talmidim took those blankets, the and they went and took them with him. And as we're going to see, they did it in order to test him what his madrega was. But the question is, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, teaches us that also lignoiv afam nas latzar. Somebody's not allowed to steal, even if the entire purpose of doing so is just to hurt someone, not that he means to take away something of his permanently. So how are they allowed to do this? So the Gra answers that the Isser of Geneva Amnas Latzar is that the Isser is only when he intends to keep what he stole. But if he has no intention of keeping it, then there's no Isser Geneva. The Sfasema says that Abba Umna was a person who was very generous. He used to serve poor people for free. And therefore, Abba Umna knew that these people were very poor, and he gave them the blankets as a gift. So it's not considered as if they stole. The Ben Yoyada says that since they did this publicly, they did this in front of the other people who lived in the house, they all saw what he was doing. So that's not considered a ganef. That's not considered a gazlan. That's considered in halacha something who is in the category of a shloil midas. It's a somebody who takes something without, who borrows something without permission, but it's not considered a gazlan. Then, Vashkechinu, so Abba Umna goes into the street and he sees these people. So they went over to him with these blankets that were his, and they asked him, "Could you tell us how much they're worth?" Amrlu, so he said, "Hocha hofra. This is how much they're worth." Amrlu, so they asked him, "V'dilma shavat fei, maybe they're worth more." Amrlu, "V'hocha shaklinu. This is how much I paid, so I know what they're worth." Amrlu, so they, at that point they said, "Didachninu, these blankets really belong to you." V'shaklinu menach, and we took it from him. So the Ben Yoyada explains the conversation that took place. He says that these people understood from what Abba Umna was saying to them that these blankets weren't the blankets that belonged to him. He meant to say to them was, "I know the value of blankets because I've bought such blankets, but not that these particular blankets are the blankets that I gave you." And therefore, since they assumed that he did not recognize that the blankets that they had were actually the blankets that he had given them, so he said that, "No, these are your blankets." And to make it clear that they had taken his blankets and to see his reaction. Amalei matusmenach. So they asked him, "We need to understand, b'may cheshdatinu, when we took these blankets, what did you think?" Amluhu, so he said, "Amin opinion shvui ikla l'rabbanan." There's a situation of opinion shvuyim that came up. V'chsifu l'meimali, and you were embarrassed to tell me about it, and that's why you took it without asking. And I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains that what he assumed was that the people who were kidnapped, where there was a mitzvah pinyan shvuyim, were their relatives, and they were embarrassed to ask for money for stock for their relatives. Amrulei, so the Talmidim said, "Hashta nishklinamar." Now that you see that we only took them, that we should see what madrega you are, please take them back. Amalei mahu shata, from the moment that I assumed that you took it because you had a need for them, I took them to be for tztaka, and therefore, since I took it for tztaka, I have it stairs. And in fact, this Gemara, the Sfasemis, and others use as a raya, the Shulchan Aruch discusses the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Yerideh, Simen Reish Nun Ches, Sif Yud Gimel, brings two opinions if tztaka is different than all other nedarim. We know that by all nedarim, it's only considered a valid neder if you verbalize your neder. But there's two opinions if tztaka is different. And that by tztaka, it's a neder, even if you just thought about it. And for our Gemara, it seems that from just thinking that something's going to be tztaka, it's considered tztaka, because that's what Abba Umna said. How will those that say that it's not tztaka until you verbalize it explain our Gemara? So the Miri says that even they will agree that it's a midas chsidus, it's a proper behavior to say that even if I just think about giving tztaka, that it should be considered tztaka. And Abba Umna was on that madrega. Says the Gemara, Abba Chel started the Rava. So Rava was upset, Mishum Dabaya, because Abaya, as we said, got Shalom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Friday. And Rava received Shalom only in Erev Yom Kippur. Amalei, Mistayich, the Kamagarnas HaGol HaKarcha. Your schus, that you're the Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Mechuza, the fact that you're the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mechuza, that is enough protection for you, and therefore you don't need any more. And the way the Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara is that Rava, because he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mechuza, his chusim were used up in protecting the entire city. And since your chusim are used up in protecting an entire city, that's why you don't have those chusim that the halacha, that you should have Shalom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Friday like Abaya. The Reish Chacham explains that we know that throughout Shas, when there's a Machloikis, Abaya and Rava, the halacha is we follow the opinion of Rava. So he was telling him was that since you have the schus, that the halacha is like you, that's enough of a schus. Says the Gemara, Breka Chazor, have a shchuke b'shuka, the bay left. Rava Bachuza was commonly in the marketplace of Bay Lefet. Have a shchich Eliyahu Gabay. And Eliyahu was there as well. Amlei, and Rabbi Roika asked Eliyahu, Ikabai Shaka by Alma Da'asi, is there somebody in this place who is worthy to have Olam Haba? And as the Torah Chaim says, doesn't it say that we say in Pirkei Avos, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba, that everybody has a share in Olam Haba? So what was the question that was asked here? So the Ein Yaakov explains that everybody ends up in Olam Haba, but some people go immediately to Olam Haba, and some people have to suffer until they get to Olam Haba. And the question was, is there anybody here that will immediately be able to enter Olam Haba without any suffering? Another pshat that I saw is that indeed, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba. Everybody has a share Olam Haba, but not everybody has the same size share. And the question that he was being asked is, does there anybody here who has a particularly large share in Olam Haba? To which he said, Loi, there isn't. Says the Gemara, however, Ada Hachi V'Hachi, while they were having this conversation, Chazi Lahu Gavra, they saw an individual that was Sayim Misani Uchmi, that was wearing black shoes. And the minig of Klal Yisrael was that they didn't wear black shoes. Some say that they wore black shoes, but the difference was what type of shoelaces they wore. And this person wasn't wearing the type of shoes that Jews wear. So the Beis Yosef asks, we know that the Torah says, that we're not allowed to wear their type of begodim, their type of clothing. So how is this person allowed to wear shoes like they wore? So the Beis Yosef says that if a person, as we're going to learn, this individual or such an individual, needs to wear shoes like the non-Jews because he intermingles with them and interfaces with them, then he's allowed to. And he goes on to explain, when the Torah is explicit in saying, this is what you have to do, this is what you may not do, so then we have to do what the Torah says, we may not do what the Torah says, we may not do. The Torah here is much more ambiguous. The Torah says, ubechukaseyem loyseleichun. And the Torah left it up to Chazal to define what does bechukaseyem loyseleichun. Since the Torah left it up to Chazal to define what b'chukaseim loyseleichu means, they also have the right to say that if it's in a situation to help Jews, it's permitted. The Bach says that the isra b'chukaseim loyseleichu is only in a situation where the person wants to dress and act like the non-Jews. But if that's not his purpose, as clearly it was not the purpose of this individual in our Gemara, then it's not an issue. He was wearing shoes like the Akum. And he wasn't wearing tzitzis. So Rabbi Eliyahu Hanavi pointed to this individual. He said, this person is a Ben Olam Haba. So Rab Reuker ran after this individual and asked him, Ma'ovdach, what do you do? So he told him, Zilla Idnav Tala Macha. Come back tomorrow. I don't have time today. L'moch amalei. So they met the next day, and he asked them, "My ovdach, what do you do?" Amalei zandukna ano. I am a guard at the prison. Versarin the governor l'chod v'neshilchod, and I make sure to keep the men and the women separate. V'menu priyai berhani lahani, and I put my bed between the men and the women. Keich de lelosu de asura to prevent any immoral behavior. If I see there's a Jewish woman who's in prison and that the Nochrim may want to take her, I do whatever I can to save her. So he said, there's one time a young Jewish engaged girl, that the Nochrim wanted to take her. I took the sediment of red wine, and I made her clothing dirty with that red sediment. V'amri, they said, this ni, she's a nida. And because she's a nida, they didn't want to come close to her. And like that, he saved that girl. I saw the Ben Yoyada says, how did he avoid wearing tzitzis? So the Ben Yoyada says, we know that you're only obligated to wear tzitzis if the garment has four corners. What he did was, he rounded one of the corners. And by rounding one of the corners, what he accomplished was that by rounding one of the corners, it was mechuyev betzitzis. Amalei, my tam alas lachutai. So he asked him, why are you not wearing tzitzis? V'raimis m'sanei chumichmi, and you're wearing shoes that Jews don't wear. Amalei, leina v'nafkina b'dei nochrim. I am very often interact with the nochrim. And keheicha de leilad the yudo ano, I don't want them to know that I'm Jewish, because kehav gezera gezarta, if they make a gezera against Klal Yisrael, medina lel rabbanon, I inform the rabbanim, bar rachma vatel gezertayu, that they know to be mispalu to have the gezera nullified. Umay tama asks him rabroika, kimein al chano my ovdach. Why, when I asked you, what do you do? Omartali, you told me, Zillo idna v'tala mocher, come back only tomorrow. Amalei b'hei shat the gazi gzarti. So he said, at that moment, there was a gzera. V'amina b'reisha ezel v'ashmel rabbanon. I have to quickly go notify the rabbanon, the labai rachmele the milsa, to make sure to start davening that the gzera should be nullified. And then you and I could speak tomorrow. Says the Gemara, ad ha'chi v'ha'chi, while Rabroik and Eliyahu were having this conversation, also Hanach Trei Achi, the two brothers that came, Omar and Eliyahu said, Amalei Eliyahu said, the Hanach Nami b'nei Almad Asininu. These two individuals are also people who are going to go to Olam Haba. Ozla Gabayu, so Rebreika went over to them, Amalu Maiva Tchayu, and he asked them, what do you do? Amalei Inshi B'duchena. We're happy people, and we make other people happy. Maftichin and Atzivi. We make people who are sad happy. Inami or Chazin by Triyam Bidislai Tigre by Dayu. If we see two people that are in an argument, Tachiren v'adin l'sholom. We do whatever we can to make peace between the people. And as the Masha explains the Gemara, when Klal Yisrael are b'tzar, the Shechina Kedosha, which the Shechina Kedosha is with us, Imay Anoichi b'tzara, is also b'tzar. So what he does is, so what they did was that they did not want that the Shechina should be b'tzar, so they made them happy to make sure that the Shechina should not be b'tzar as well. We learned in the Mishnah, Al Eilu Masrim B'Kamakayim, Al Shadofim V'Yirokim V'Abra V'Achsir V'Alchayra V'Alcherev, Masrim Aleim, we immediately do Masrim Ne Shemakim Alachas. So we see from our Mishnah that any type of situation where there's a problem which commonly spreads, we right away make Hasra, even when it's far away. Tana Bottom, Al Eilu Masrim B'Kamakayim, in these situations, we do masrin everywhere. Al shtofen al yirokin al arba v'chsil v'chay ra. Kivaymer al shtofen al yirokin. If it's a situation of shtofen yirokin, b'kalshu. Even if the smallest amount of shtofen yirokin appear, it's right away considered a situation. Arba v'chsil. And when we have a situation of these different type of insects, afilo ner b'eretz Yisrael el knaf echad. You only saw the wing of one of them. That means even just one insect appeared in Eretz Yisrael, Masrim Aleim, immediately we have to start the procedure, because that's a bad sign. We learned in the Mishnah, Valchaya. So, says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Chai Rosh Amru, this that we said that when they're being attacked by animals, we do Masrim, is Bizman Shim Mishalachas. When we see that it's a situation that it's being sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a normal situation. That's when Masrin Alei, we immediately begin to blow shofar and daven that the gzeira should be stopped. Ezi mishlachas. So ask the Braisa, what is the circumstance that's mishlachas? Ve'ezi she'er mishlachas. And when is that not mishlachas? It says the Braisa, nearest be'ir, if the animals appear in a city where people normally live, that's mishlachas. Besada, but if it's out in the field, where that's where animals usually are, it's ein mishlachas. B'yoyim, during the day, mishlachas, because usually the animals don't go out in the middle of daylight. B'layla, when it's by night, ein mishlachas, that's normal that they go out at night. Rosh nei b'nei adam, if two people saw these animals, v'rotza achreim, and the animal runs after them, mishlachas. Because usually the animals are scared of people. Here, the fact that they're not scared of people, on the contrary, they're running after the people, is a very bad sign. Nechz b'fneim, but if the animal hides, which is the normal way, ein mishlachas. Tarfish nei b'nei adam, if the animal attack two people, v'achl echmehen, but only ate one of them, mishlachas. That's unusual. Ochl shneim, but if they ate both of them, ein mishlachas, because that's common. Also lagag, if the animal went up to the roof, v'notla tinek marisa, and took a child out of its crib, that too is unusual, mishlachas. And the Meiri says that not doesn't only mean a child. The same would be an adult. But we would think that a child, which is much more vulnerable, if the animal attacks the child, maybe it should not be considered mishlachas. Teaches us the Braisa, since it happened under such unusual circumstances that the animal went up to the roof and took the baby out of its crib, that's a raya that it's mishlachas. Hagufa kasha, but ask the Gemara on the Braisa. Amrit nirsa b'ir, when it's in the city, it's a proof that it's mishlachas. And that seems to be loishna b'yoyim loishna b'nayla. It doesn't make a difference when it appeared, whether by day or by night. V'hoda amrit, and then we learned b'yoyim mishlachas, that only if the animal appears by day is it mishlachas, b'layla and mishlachas. So even in the city. So how do we reconcile this? Says the Maraloi kasha. Hachkam, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Nirsa b'ir b'yoyim. If the animal was seen in the city by day, mishlachas. B'ir b'layla. But if it appeared in the city, but it was by night, any mishlachas, then that's not a mishlachas. Inami besada, if it's out in the field, afilu b'yayim, even if it was seen by day, but since the animals are out in the field all the time, so even though it was by day, any mishlachas. Continues the Gemara and analyzing the Braisa. The Braisa said, Rosh Hashnei B'nai Adam, if two people saw it, V'rotz Achreim, Mishalachas. If the animal chases them, it's Mishalachas. Hoya Medes, but if it doesn't chase them, ain't a Mishalachas. V'hada Amrit, and then the Braisa says, only if Nechbas B'mneim, only if the animal hides, ain't a Mishalachas. Hoya Medes, if the animal stands in its place, but did not hide, Mishalachas. So we have a stira. What is the halacha when the animal didn't chase them, nor did the animal go back and hide? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Kam besada smuch la'agam. The place where the animal usually lives is by the swamp. And therefore, if the animal is found by the swamp, which is a place where it's comfortable, it's normal that it should be out, and that's why it's not mishlachas. And that's why if it didn't hide, it's not a problem. Kan besodish enes muchel agam, so the animal is not so comfortable in such a place, and therefore, unless it's hiding, it's considered mishlachas. We learned further in the Braisa. Tarfish nebe adam ke'echod, if the animal attacked two people, v'ochle echmehem, and ate one of them, mishlachas. Shneim, ate mishlachas. But if he ate both of them, it's not mishlachas. But ask the Gemara, V'amrit, we said earlier in the Braisa that a filo rotsa, if the animal just chases the animal, the people, it's already considered mishlachas. Answers the Gemara, Amra papa ki tanya hi bag magufa. We're talking about in the swamp. And since that's why in the swamp it's much more comfortable, and therefore when it chases them, it's not unusual. Only if it attacks two and eats one, that's a bad sign. We learned further in the Braisa. Also, Gag, if the animal went up to the roof of the house, the Notlatinik Marisa took a child out of its crib, Mushalachas. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Of course, that's a bad sign. Answers the Gemara Amra Papa, Kekuche Detzaidi. The child is in this type of a place where they hid when they wanted to go hunting. It's so therefore, if it took it from that place, which is not usual that an animal should go up there, that's why it's considered mishlachas. Tanabaran, a cherev. We learned in the Brais and Mishnah that cherev is also considered a situation that we have to do masriyim. Tanabaran cherev sh'amru, and it's achlem a cherev she'ena sh'sholem. Certainly, if they're coming to attack another country, that's a terrible situation. Alfilu cherev sh'sholem. That means one country is going through another country, just traveling through the country on way to war, that's already considered a situation of cherev. And explains the Braisa. She'en lecha cherev shel sholem yosem eparam nechoy. In the time of Yoshio, who was the Melech Yehuda, Paran Nechoy, who was the king of Mitzrayim, and the reason he was called Paran Nechoy is because he was lame. He wasn't able to walk. And he was going to hold war with the Melech Ashur, who lived in Carchemish, which was on the north of Eretz Yisrael. Mitzrayim, Egypt, which is on the south of Eretz Yisrael, the way for him to get to the north was by traveling through Eretz Yisrael. And he sends a message that he doesn't want to hold battle with Eretz Yisrael, he just wants to pass through. But says the Gemara, V'abikei nechshabay melch Yeshio. Yeshio made a mistake and caused that he should die, even though it was not his time. That wasn't Paran Nechoy's intention. And as the Rishonim explain, because whenever an army goes through a country, even if it's going for peaceful purposes, it's a situation of danger. Why is it a situation of danger? Because armies don't really pay attention. They just march. And while they're marching, they could be doing damage, even if that's not their intention. Another pshat, is a pshat that we spoken about previously. Whenever somebody is in a shas sakana, that's a situation that causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should examine, does this person deserve to be saved? And here too, the army passing by, even though it's not that army's intention to do any damage, but that causes that the country through which the army is passing should be re-examined. Shenema, the pasuk says, the parent Choy sent a message to Yeshiyahu. V'yishlach alav malachim lemer. He sent messages to him saying, Ma'aliv v'loch melech Yehuda. You and I have no issue with each other. Loy alach ata hayoyim. Ki el beis machamti. My sights are not on you today. V'lekim omala v'leini. The God said to me, I should go quickly to attack Ashur. Chadolcha melechim asher imi v'ayu shchisecha. Don't start up with the God that's with me. Let me do what I have to do. My, as Mar, what does it mean when he said, Melahim Ashe'imi? My, Chadolcha Melahim Ashe'imi, Amar Yudam Rav, Avodah Zorah. He said, I have my Avodah Zorah. That was Paran Chay's point. And leave me alone, let me go do what I have to do. Amar Yudam Amar. So Yoshua made the following assumption. However, Kabatak Avodah Zorah, since he's relying completely on his Avodah Zorah, so it's a proof that Yachalnalei, I could prevail over him. And the pasuk says, V'yayra ha'yayra l'melech Yeshua, and he did not want to allow Paran Choy to go through the country, so they shot arrows at him. V'yayma ha'melech l'avada v'ireni k'chalos mi'oid. Move me away, because I'm very ill. My k'chalos mi'oid. What do you mean by saying so? Says the Gemara, Amri Yehuda Merab, Melamed she'osu kol gufei k'kavra. They shot so many arrows at him that he looked like a sieve. And as the Chassam Sofer explains, even though Yoshio himself was a tzaddik, but he lived in a time of terrible Rishoyim, and because he lived in a time of terrible Rishoyim, and he wasn't able to bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why he was punished. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, Mevnei Manan Nenesh Yoshio. But if we just said Yoshio was such a great tzaddik, why was he punished? It says the Gemara, Mevnei Shoyo Limelch Be'er Yemiyo V'loy Nimlech. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was alive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi what to do, and because he didn't do so, that's why he was punished. My Darsh, what caused Yoshiyahu to make this mistake? He said, he learned what it says in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk that if Klal Yisrael will do what they're supposed to do, V'cherev loisava ba'artzachem. My cherev. Ilaim l'cherev she'ena sholem. That it means that there won't be any war. That's obvious that it won't happen when we're doing the right thing. V'ksiv, v'nosati sholem baretz. That when we learn Torah and we do the right thing, there'll be peace in our country. Elo, it means shel sholem. Even a cherev of sholem won't go through. V'weni yedaya, but what he didn't recognize was the darsha, that even though he was a tzaddik, he didn't know that the people of his time weren't such big tzaddikim, and therefore he should not have been so confident that he has nothing to worry about. Says the Gemara, Kavanicha Navshe, as Yoshio was passing away, Chazu Yirmiyahu saw Sfasei the Kamarachshin. He saw his lips moving. Amma Shema Chas Hashem Milsa Dloy Mahagna. Amma Agav Tzeri. Maybe because he's upset and he's suffering that he got killed, he's saying something inappropriate. Gochen v'shami dekamatzikol edin ad nafshei. So he bent his ear down to listen what he was saying, and he heard him saying, Tzadiku Hashem kifir bereisei. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he did tzidik adin. Whatever Hashem does is correct. I didn't pay attention to what he said. So when Yirmiyahu saw that Yoshio was such a great tzaddik, Posel HaYishat, at that moment, he announced, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. We learned in the Mishnah, Mas V'yadu Zekenim Yishlaim L'Reyim, they came to the city, and they saw Shidofen, they saw this problem in Ashkelon, and they were Geizer Tainus, Ibai Lehu. What does that mean? How much shadofin did they see? Kamali tana tvua is the amount of wheat that you need to fill up a furnace. Or dilma kamali tana pas, the amount of bread. And the way the Mefarshim explain this Gemara, they explain that in those days the way they used to bake bread is that they used to bake it against, put the pita against the wall. And what happened is, so then you only have, when you're baking bread, you only have walls along, you only have bread along the sides of the wall. When you're filling it up with wheat, then you have it filling up the entire oven. And therefore the question is, how much are we speaking about? Tashma kamali tpi taner. It means the amount of bread you put into the oven. But says the Gemara Dainty by Lay, we still need to understand. Kikusyu the Tarna, the amount of bread that's put at the opening of the oven. Idilma, Kidara the Rifta, the Hadalay Lapuma the Tanura. Or maybe the amount of bread that you need to fill up all the sides of the wall. And the Gemara remains with a taiku. We learned further in the Mishnah. Vay Gazu Tainus, they also decreed a Tainus. Ashachl of Zaevim, the wolves came out and attacked two children in Eva Yardin. Amu Ula Mishim Rav Shimba at Tzadik. Maisu Bolas Avim Shnei Tanokos. The wolves swallowed these two children as they were whole. Vikiyum Derech Beisarei. And then they expelled them through their rectum. Uba Maislof Nechachamim. And the story came to the Chachamim to ask if those bodies that were expelled are still considered whole, that they should give off tumas ameis, v'tiras abasur, and Chazal said that the flesh is not considered the flesh of a mace, doesn't give off tumah, v'tumas ametzameis, but it's considered, the bones are considered still whole, that they give off tumas ameis. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that if a basur hameis, the flesh of a person is swallowed and then it's expelled, then if it was in the body of the animal that swallowed it for 24 hours, it's considered digested. And once it's considered digested, it's not considered, doesn't have the ability to give off tum anymore. Only when it's in a body, in the stomach of a dog, does it need 3 days to be considered digested. But says the Gemara, that's only, we talk about the flesh of the animal, but when flesh of the baby. But when we speak about the bones obviously don't get digested that quickly. And therefore, when the animals expel the bones of the mace, they still give off tumah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Al-Elim Asriyim B'Shabbos, Aliyah Shekrifu Nochrim Anor, V'al-Svinah Meterefes B'Yom. Tana Rabbonim, we learn in a Braisa. Aliyah Shekrifu Nochrim Anor, a city that was surrounded by an army or by a river, or if the ship is in this danger, well, it's out at the ocean, or a individual is being chased by nokrim, or they list him by armed bandits, or this person is being affected by Ruach Ra, a kulan, in all of these situations, yochad rishoy l'sagav atzmai l'btanis. A person is allowed to put himself into a tainis and daven. Because as the Ran explains, these tzaris are considered very serious tzaris. And therefore, the very serious tzaris, the halachas you could right away begin fasting. Rabbi Yosef, any yochad rishoy l'sagav atzmai l'btanis, and now out of fast, Shemi Yitzdarach Lebrios, he won't, if he fast, he won't have enough strength, and Ve'en Abrios Merachos Lov, and he won't have, people won't have enough Rechmeres. So, the Ran explains that whenever something like this happens, it's a tzara that's effective immediately, and therefore, even though we've been learning that when you have such situations, you first decree the fast, you wait, here, there's no time to wait. And furthermore, says the Ran, that l'sagav atzmai means that you're allowed to fast, but not only are you allowed to fast, but we've been always learning that when you fast normally, they fast on Monday, Thursday, Monday. In these situations, you fast immediately. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, my Talmud, Rav Yossi, that why should you not allow to fast? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vehi Adam Nafish Chaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Neshamish Nesati Bechem, I gave you life, HaChayeyu, make sure that you live. Do whatever it takes to stay healthy. And if the fasting will weaken you, that you won't be healthy, don't fast. And the Chinuch, in the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Shin Ayin Dalad, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Shetia Bay Lomoy, Bari Meshutafis Mechaim V'Seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that human beings should be a combination of Ruchnius and Gashmius. V'zeh Odom, V'kol Ma Shiyuchel Odom Lamad, Ba'avoydus Chomer, a person should concentrate more on the ruchnis than the gashmis. As tovloi, that's great. However, continues the chinuch, uvat shelo yinia zniach as gufil gamer v'yachivo. Don't ignore your body. Ki gam ze yichoshev le'oven. Ignoring our health is an aveira. Me'achas hamelech chofetz lias le'beri kazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us, created us, and wants us to be healthy. V'zeh omer Shlomo HaMelech, Al titzadik harbei, v'al tischachem yois olam tishomim. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be healthy. I also saw from Rabbi Yoshe ben Soloveitchik, Zatzal, he says that the Gemara says that somebody who is, the Gemara just identified all types of situations, and one of the situations is Neiruach Ra. So he says, from here we see that mental illness is considered equivalent to physical illness. And therefore, in all halachas, we know in Hilchos Shabbos, if Rachman Tzlan, there's a situation of Bikuach Nefesh, we do whatever we have to do. The same thing, he says, we see from here, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, is suffering from mental illness, we do what we have to do to make sure that he should be healthy. Shimon HaTamani, I mean, we learned in the Mishnah, F. Aladeva. But we learned in the Mishnah, V'loi hoide loi chachamim. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Loi hoide loi chachamim. Does that mean, B'Shabbos? That we learned in the Mishnah, that at Shabbos, even if there's a situation, a dever, we do what we have to do, to which the Chacham did not agree. Ab chol hoide loi. During the week, they agree, we do what we have to do. Adelma, loi hoide loi klal. They don't consider this such a situation, Devar is such a situation, that we should be Masriyan. Toshma, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Masriyan al Devar b'Shabbos, vein tzarech loyma b'chol. Abchanim ben pitam, Talmidah shabakivim, Mishim rakiva oyma, ein Masriyan al Devar kolikar. So clearly we see that the Devar is not considered such a situation that even during the week that you have to do anything, and therefore the pshat of loy hoyde in the Mishnah is loy hoyde loy klal. We learned in the Mishnah, a kol tzara shloy tov al tzibur, if chas shom klai Yisrael is suffering masrim aleim, chutz mi roiv gishamim, unless if there's too much rain. Tana abaron, al kol tzara shloy tov al tzibur, if anything terrible is happening to tzibur, masrim aleim, we right away do asra, chutz mi roiv gishamim, unless if it's raining too much. My tama, says the Gemara, why not? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we never daven for something that if it's too good. From where we know that it's always the halacha. Shnemar avius kol ha'maisel beis ha'oitzer. My and the roich yisulchem broch ad b'lidai. Ask them what's the definition ad b'lidai. Omer Rami Barav ad shiivul sum seichem b'loy medai. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much. We say enough, but we say enough, but we never daven that he should stop. We never daven that we should stop, and therefore that the toiva should stop. I did see that the Karen Oira wants to say that there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. That in Eretz Yisrael, we don't daven for Roiv Toiva, and maybe in Chutz Laaretz we do. In the Hagdama of the Shalos Tshuvos, Beis Ephraim Eirechayim, he quotes his uncle Rav Sender. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Birchas Hashem he ta'ashir v'lo yasev etzev imoy." So he explains. We know it says in Pirkei Avos, "Mar b'nechasa mar b'daiga." The more somebody owns, the more possessions somebody has, he has more to worry about. And he goes on to say, Chazal also teach us, Ein Adam Yoytz Min Olam, nobody leaves this world, V'chatzi Tavos B'yaday. And he has even half of what he wanted to have. Because the Gemara says, this Leimon, if somebody has $100, Yoytz Misayim, he was $200. But, he says, that's, if somebody is Zoycha to a Bracha from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, V'chaysi Lechem Bracha Ad B'lidai. That the brach that we give from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows brach on us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows brach on us in a way that we're satisfied and not that we keep on wanting to have more. And he says, that's pshat. Birchas Hashem hita'asher. People, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people are zoicha to the Birchas Hashem, to brach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not only are they zoicha to brach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo yosef etzvima. Usually when somebody has possessions, as we just said, he wants more and more. But when somebody is zoicha to have bracha from Hashem, the bracha that he has is given to him in such a way that v'lo yosef etzev, he's not upset, he's satisfied with what he has. Amar Rabbi Be'yud, b'gayla, however, in the galus, mesrim aleh, when there's too much rain in Bavel, that could be a sakana. Tanya, Namihachi, Satmarak Shanash Gishmah Marubim, in a year where they have much rain, and Shemish Mishalchim Lanshimi Maimid, the people of the Mishmar would send to the people of Maim, Tanu Anechim Agrechim Shagala, pay attention for the people that live in Gaila, Shloibitechim Kivrayim. Because since in Bavel it was a valley, and if the rain, if it rains there, the rain accumulates, and they could drown in their homes. Says the Mashallah, Esrabalazar Hechim, at what point do we daven that the rain should stop? A person should be standing on top of the stone, which apparently was a very high stone, and the top of the stone is still wet from the rain. Vatanya Raglov Kiyodov Kamina says the Gemara that we say Vishakshav Yodov. So what do you tell me, Raglov? It says Yodov, that his hands get wet. Answers the Gemara, Raglov Kiyadov Kamina. What I mean is that the water is so high that your hands are getting as wet as your feet. Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Ledi Chazil Karen Eifel. I saw this place called Karen Eifel. The Kama Hutaya Kirachav Gamla. I saw this Arab riding on a camel, and he was carrying a spear in his hand, and to me it looked, when I looked up, it was so high up that this person on the camel, it all looked to me like a small ant, because that's how tall it was, that somebody standing on the ground looking up, it looked very small. Obviously it was a very tall place.